Joshua chapter 20, verse 8. And on the other side, Jordan, by Jericho eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain, out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead, out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan, everybody said Golan, Golan in Bashan, out of the tribe of Manasseh. Amen. Praise God. So many historical things about these cities of refuge and different aspects that we could look at today. One of the things that is spoken of over and over in the scriptures is Og of Bashan, the king Og of Bashan, who had an iron bed. He was a giant, and they slew him and his kingdom. And Golan, we hear about it in the news, the Golan Heights in Israel, and it is the area between Syria and Israel in which there are many, many conflicts that are taking place right now. And God saw fit here to take the city of Golan. I want to talk about it here this morning, out of the tribe of Manasseh as a city of refuge. And these are making reference to Jesus and our relationship with him, the place of safety, the place where the death, the one that has death in his hand, is not able to touch us and to help us and to hurt us, rather. But these cities were set up for a place of refuge. And the name Golan here means captive, or to take prisoner, or to bring into subjection. And I could go a lot of different directions with this here today, but I want to focus our attention this morning on a particular aspect of this, and something that the scriptures talk about, bringing ourselves into subjection. Amen. And let's look at it this morning. Can we pray together? And let's ask for the help of God this morning. Father, I thank you for the word. I thank you for the presence of your spirit that we feel this morning. Anoint the word of God. Speak to us. Touch us. We give you honor, praise, and thanks in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. Praise God. Praise God. And when we look at this here this morning, we can understand, looking at our world today and the way things are in our world today, there are so many negative things that are coming out. There are so many things that we need our mind to be protected from. Whether we realize it or not, the mind is a very important part of our life. Maybe you don't realize that, but it is. Amen. The mind is so very, very important. What we think and the thoughts that go through our mind are very important. In fact, in one place in the scripture, it says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." And this is not a message about the power of positive thinking, but I do believe that the Bible tells us to think positive things, and that we should not allow things into our mind that will corrupt, and things that will take us away from God. Amen. Because there are channels. One of them, Jesus said, the light of the body is the eye. Everybody said the eye. The eye. The light of the body is the eye. And what we allow into our eyes goes into our mind. There is no way that we can escape this. There's only one thing that we can do, and that is to regulate, or to bring into subjection, or to bring into captivity the thoughts and the things that come into our mind. Amen. And we have a situation in our country, at least, where there is the need for security and shelter. Amen. When Hollywood comes along and decides that they're going to give everybody this, and everybody just lines up and feasts upon what comes out of Hollywood. I want you to know we're making a big mistake. Amen. Because the things of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. Amen. Now, don't y'all get quiet on me here this morning. Praise God, because I'm preaching the truth of the Word of God here today. And the Word of God is for us, and the Word of God is something that we need to get a hold of. Amen. It's not just that, but the political situation of our world, the things that are being said, the things that are being promoted in our world today. I think that, as it says in the Scriptures, we should be nonconformists. Amen. Well, praise God. And I don't know the whole full meaning of that word there, but the Bible tells us that, and it says, "Wherefore come out from among them, saith the Lord, and be ye separate." Amen. "And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you unto myself." The Bible says that if we are a friend of the world, that we are the enemy of God. Well, praise God. It's in the Word of God this morning. And I want a friend in Jesus. Anybody else feel that way? Amen. And yet we're living in that generation and that time. And I suppose it always has been, amen, when the Bible says that that if we are a friend of the world, we're the enemy of God. But it also says that well, praise the Lord. I'm not going to go there right now. Amen. And we're just going to switch gears here. But when we talk about what is going on in our world today, I think that there needs to be an opting out. Amen. An opting out. We don't have to be a part of the system of this world. Yes, we're a part of the world, and we're in the world, and we work, and we are in the financial system, and we are a part of this world, and we're very connected to this world. Amen. But there are some things that we need to be very careful about, and some things that we need to not allow into our mind. Amen. And we need to bring ourselves into subjection of the will of God. Well, praise the Lord. Because in this generation today, if you're not a part of the world, you're strange. If you're not doing things the way the world does it, then you're different. Amen. Well, let's just say it this morning. We are different. Well, praise God. We're not of this world. And the Bible says, "They that say such things declare plainly that they are pilgrims and strangers in this world." Amen. We're not taking all this with us. Well, praise God. We're not taking our money with us. Amen. We're not taking Hollywood with us. We're not taking the political and governmental systems of this world with us. They're going to be ground to powder and blown into the wind. And everything that we put our hope and our confidence in today is going to be taken away. Amen. What we need to do is to bring ourselves under the subjection of God. Amen. And when we talk about this, amen, we can talk about the greatest subjection that we can do. Now, I know the Bible talks about being in subjection one to another, subjection to God, and all the different relationships that we have in this world. But the greatest thing that we can bring into captivity is our will to live for God. Amen. Because, now we heard the other night, we were in service the other night, and anything that happens in the physical happens in the spiritual first. But I want to go a step further here this morning and say that whatever happens in your life will happen in your mind before it ever becomes a reality. Well, praise God. A building is conceived in the mind of a man before the building ever comes up. Amen. A car was conceived in the mind of a man before it was ever built. Praise God. Whatever it is conceived in the mind before it ever becomes a reality. Somebody said amen. And so it is therefore very important this morning that we bring our life into subjection of God, but not only that, that we bring our mind into captivity. Praise God. And to bring it into the subjection of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 25, it says this, "And every man that striveth for the mastery," or in other words, if you're striving to be the best that you can, praise God, and I think that's what we need to do with our life. And it says that he is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Amen. And the very best that we can be in this lazy and entertainment crazy world, amen, is not really as popular as you might think it is. Amen. We're living in that time when folks are more interested in entertainment, more interested in getting excited about something that's probably not even a reality. Amen. Getting excited about idolatry and imagery. Amen. Folks, I want you to know that what's on that screen on the television is just an image. Amen. And it may or may not be true. It may or may not be reality. Amen. We're fooling ourselves to think, amen, that we can just take on the images of this world and the media of this world and be spiritual and have a Holy Ghost revival. Well, praise God. And I think the most important thing in life is to have God in my life. I know it is. Amen. Seek ye first what? The kingdom of God. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, don't misunderstand me this morning. I'm not in a bad mood. Praise God. Pastor doesn't need a vacation. Amen. But I'm just preaching the word of God this morning, and it's how I feel, and it's what our church believes. Somebody said amen. Praise God. And he said, I've got to bring my body under subjection. And it goes right back to that city of refuge. The refuge that we have in our life is the place that we have submitted ourselves to. You have to run into the city of refuge. You have to get through the gate. You have to go in there, and you have to live there. Amen. You can't get out of the city of refuge, because if you do, the avenger of blood will come and destroy your life. Amen. Are you listening here this morning? He'll come and destroy your life. You can't go in and out of the city. Amen. You can't go in for a while and then come out for a while. Amen. Because you're hazarding your life. You're hazarding your future. It is a very dangerous game to play. You might be able to go out of the gate and then come back in and make it once or twice. But I'm telling you, there is an avenger of blood. The devil, amen, the enemy of our soul, who's waiting on the outside of the gate to destroy our lives. And that's why God gave them the city of refuge, so that there would be a place that we could run and hide. Amen. And being the very best that we can be is not always popular, but to fulfill the will of God, amen, and to rise above the mix of this world, amen, to rise above the things that are happening in our world, and to be better than the world that we're living in. Praise God. Praise God. I believe that we ought to be the best employees on our job. Why? Because we're serving Christ. Amen. We're serving the Lord. And I believe that we ought to be the very best that we can be in everything. Whatever you find it to do, do it with your might, the scripture says. Amen. And if we're going to strive for the mastery, or if we're going to strive to master something, amen. I'm watching this morning while little Isaac is playing the drums, and he's getting better. He missed a few beats this morning, but we're not going to bring that up to him. We're going to pat him on the back and say, you did a really good job. Now just keep practicing. Amen. But you're never going to master something. You'll never master the piano. You'll never master the drums. You'll never master living for God unless you put your whole heart into it and you live for it. Praise God. And you do your best and you practice and you continue to work on it. Amen. Because if you take a break and you go away for a while and then come back, you're going to have to re-remember some things. Amen. That you lost. I remember as a kid going to school, and through the summer months, we forgot an awful lot through the summer months, and come back to school in the spring or in the fall, and all of a sudden here we are in math class again. Oh, what did we learn last year? We totally forgot everything. And so the teacher has to recap. You know, I think it's better just to continue on instead of taking a break completely and forgetting half of what you learned. Amen. Well, praise God. And so if we're going to master something, we've got to stick with it. And we've got to be the best that we can be at it. Amen. The Bible says that if we strive for the mastery, we must be temperate in what? All things, amen, that if we're going to master this thing of living for God and be the very best that we can be, we have to be temperate. And the word temperate here means to exercise self-restraint. Well, praise God. Somebody said praise God. Amen. Now, I'm just going to read the definition. Can I read the definition this morning? Some of you are not giving me an amen. You're just looking at me. Can I read the definition? It's the definition. It's not my definition. It's somebody else's definition of the word temperate. And it means to exercise self-restraint in diet, in chastity, or sexual purity. That's what it means. Amen. That we should be temperate in all things. In other words, that we should be able to say no to ourselves. That's what it's talking about. And when we say no to ourselves, amen. I'm not going to get into the details. And somebody said, thank you, Lord. Amen. But there is a need for us to say no to ourselves. You say, oh, we're living in a free society. We can do whatever we want to do. Let's just have a party. Let's just have fun. I'll tell you what, parties cost money, and fun costs time and energy and all of that. Amen. And thank God we can have fun, and we can have the right kind of entertainment and enjoy this life that we're living. Praise God. The Bible says that we work, first of all, to build up the house of God and to bring the first fruits unto the Lord. But then, amen, the money that we make is to bless ourselves and our families and for our future. Praise God. It's in the Word. You can find it for yourself. Amen. But I'm telling you this morning, there is a time and a place, and it needs to be in the heart of a serious child of God to be able to say no to themselves. Well, praise God. I'll tell you what. It's been, 1974, so that would be whatever it is, 50, I don't know, somebody counted for me this morning. That would be 43 years ago, amen, 43 some odd years ago, amen. I made a decision that I would not have a television in my home. And you know why? Because the Bible says, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Amen. And I'll tell you another decision that I made. Amen. I'm not going to watch TV on the internet either. Amen. I might get a news clip here and there. Amen, to see what's going on in our world. But I'm not going to spend time watching the movies of Hollywood. You know why? Because it affects the mind. Well, praise God, it affects the mind. I want to ask you today, amen, how many hours do you pray every week versus how many hours you're watching something, amen, or looking at something? Did you know that the eye is the gateway to the soul, and what we allow into our eyes? I'm trying to help us here this morning. Amen. What we allow into our eyes will eventually affect our soul. Praise God. And I'll stand up to anybody here this morning when it comes to politics. I can talk it just as well as you can without a television. Praise the Lord. You want to talk about the news? I'll talk the news to you. I know what's going on in our world. I didn't fall off of a turnip truck yesterday. Amen. I know what's going on in our world, but I don't watch it on the television. Well, praise God. Amen. I'm telling you, we have so much filth that is on our media today that we cannot allow, we cannot afford for it to affect us or to be a part of our lives. Amen. And that's where subjection comes in. Amen. That's where we say no to ourselves. And we say no to the things that will be harmful for our walk with God and our relationship with the Lord. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, Brother Riley, well, I'm not even going to go there, but he preached on this many years ago. Amen. And I'll tell you, I'm not going to sit in front of the media of our world today and watch people adulterate and fornicate and curse and swear and lie and murder and all of that, and then come to church and say, I love you, Jesus. Jesus doesn't have anything to do with that. If we're a friend of the world, we can become and are the enemy of God. That's a very serious matter, folks. Amen. I love God. Does anybody else love God this morning? I love God. I love Him more than anything. And the Bible says we need to love Him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And so the mind, amen, is a part of the greatest commandment. And so we must protect our heart, amen, because the heart is the focus of the attack of the enemy. Amen. We need to protect our heart, but we also need to protect our mind. Amen. What we allow into our mind, amen, will affect us spiritually and in every other aspect of life. Amen. It's important that we watch what our children, that we're careful what our children watch. Praise God. Well, praise God. I'm telling you this morning, there's a man in the prison over here in El Dorado. He's called the BTK, Bind, Torture, Kill. That's his own designation for his own life. An arrogant serial killer. Amen. Somebody said, well, how did you end up in this place? He said, it all started when I was out and I was going through the alleyways and found some pornographic magazines in a trash can. And we started looking at that, and it started filling my mind. And he said, one thing went to another and another to another. You say, well, I'm not going to be a serial killer. You may not. But I'm telling you this morning, friend, you cannot live for God and look at pornographic magazines. Well, praise God. And all it takes for that little boy in your home is to look at one magazine and he's changed for the rest of his life. You say, oh, we don't have any of those. Well, you've got it right there in your television. It's right there. And all of a sudden the scene comes up and the scene is gone. And that image is forever burned into his mind or her mind. God help us today. That's not the will of God. Come on, somebody help me this morning. It's not the will of God. It's the will of God that we have a mind of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 4. Praise the Lord. You're probably wishing this is almost over already. Thank you. I'm going to. Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought, casting down imaginations. Amen. Those are mental images. Mental images. Amen. Those things that we see in our world. And there's no way to escape it all. Amen. There's no way to get away from it completely. But I'm telling you, I think when it comes to our home, amen, that our home should be a sanctuary for our family. That our home should be a place, amen, where there is the air is clear, so to speak, spiritually. Amen. That we don't get all of these crazy ideas of our world today. Folks, there's a lot of crazy ideas out there today. Amen. If you feel like you're a woman but you were born as a man, you can go in the women's restroom. It's a crazy world that we're living in today. Amen. I just feel this in my heart this morning. There's got to be, amen, a bringing into subjection, a bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Amen. We've got to go to Golan. It's a high place. Amen. It's a place of safety, the place that God has established for us, that we can run and hide from the avenger of blood. And he's out there and he's waiting. And he is ready to strike at a moment's notice. Amen. But I'm telling you, this city of submission, this city of subjection, amen, or to take as a prisoner. That's why Paul said, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Amen. I am a prisoner of the Lord because I've got to bring this body of mine into subjection. I've got to bring my thoughts into subjection. Amen. Bringing into captivity. I'm going to run to Golan. Amen. I'm going to bring every thought. The Bible says every thought to the obedience of Christ. Not just when I'm in church. Not just when I'm hearing the preaching of the Word of God. Not just when, praise God. I'm telling you what this morning, friend. What we need is the Word of God in our mind. Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Oh, we've all failed. The media is around us everywhere. But friend, I'm telling you, this filthy stuff that's in our world today, we don't need it as a child of God. Don't need it. Amen. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. I'm reading scripture for us here this morning. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind or renovating of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Amen. The renewing of the mind. And when we think soberly, amen, when we think soberly, oh, praise God, I love to joke, I love to have a good time, amen, but there comes a time in our walk with God. You know what? It's important when we come to church. It's important when it's time for the preaching of the Word of God. It's a very serious matter. The Bible says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And our God is alive this morning, and He's watching what we do, and He's listening to what we say. Oh God, help us. We've got to run to a place of safety, because outside of this city of refuge, amen, there's all kinds of crazy ideas. There's all kinds of crazy images. There's all kinds of foolishness all around. Outside of this city, they're shouting in the streets, evil is good and good is evil. Amen. Outside of the streets, amen. Oh, God, help us. I was reading something the other night, an article that I saw, and it was on the city of Pompeo. And it was leveled by a volcanic eruption. And then they found another city, Herculaneum, I think is the name of it. And it was such a drastic event that took place that the people, the volcanic ash that was so hot, came through that city, and those people were literally frozen in time. You can see their faces, their arms, some were laying on the ground, and they were completely encased in volcanic ash that was so hot that it just stuck to them, and they perished. They went through that city, and they found writings in that city of perversion and all sorts of things. And then on one of the walls, they saw the writing, the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah was written right there on the walls of that city. I'm telling you, folks, we can't live any way that we want to live. Amen. Even if judgment doesn't come in this life, well, praise God. If it doesn't come in this life, it's coming. And the judgment of God is over our world today. In the big middle of it, there's got to be a church. Well, praise God. Not this watered down mess that we're seeing in our generation today. But there's got to be a church that says we're opting out of the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Well, praise God, and we're living for Jesus, and we're not conforming to the things of this world. You say, oh, well, we're going to be looked down upon. You know what John wrote in the Scriptures 2,000 years ago? He said, and we know the world hates us. But I wonder today how many feel that way. Amen. I don't think they feel that way. We're all inclusive nowadays. Well, praise God. I don't want to be offensive this morning. I really don't. But I want to preach what the Word of God has to say. Amen. The churches of our day today are all inclusive. It does not matter. Amen. It does not matter how you live. It does not matter if you're living in fornication outside of marriage. It does not matter, amen, if two men are living together or two women are living together. Amen. It does not matter in our generation. Amen. We're coming to the time and the place where leaders of churches, amen, where he's living with another man or she's living with another woman. I'm telling you, folks, being mean or hateful, but the Word of God speaks against these things. It is not right. It is a sin, and it'll cause you to be lost forever. There are rights and wrongs in the Word of God. I wished everybody would be with me here this morning. Amen. There are rights and there are wrongs in the Word of God, and we must strive. Yes, we fail and we fall short, but we must strive to enter in to the straight gate. For narrow is the gate and straight is the way that leads unto life, and few are going to find it. Praise God. What takes place in your walk with God is going to originate in your mind. In your mind, you're going to say, well, I don't have to listen to the pastor. In your mind, you'll say, well, it's okay if I don't go to church. It's okay if I don't give to God. And in your mind, you will set up a court system. Amen. And you'll figure out a way to justify your actions. But I'm telling you, you'll never get around the Word of God, because the Word of God is settled forever in heaven. Anybody feel the Holy Ghost here this morning? Praise God. I got two or three helping me here this morning. I'm telling you, folks, it is so very vital. Amen. Because the Bible says here, Galatians 6 and verse 3, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing. Oh, when I read that, I thought, oh my. He deceiveth himself. Did you know that what you think in your mind can become a self-deception? That we can actually think that we are something when we are nothing. Oh, Lord. I thought, dear Lord, I don't want to hear him say, you're nothing, depart from me. When all the while I was thinking that I was something. When all the while I was thinking, oh, this is grand, this is great, this is wonderful. When all of us, all in reality, and folks, we've all done it. You've done it, I've done it, and we're thinking we're going in a grand direction, and all of a sudden we find ourselves there, and we say, how did I get here? I don't want to be here. How did I get here? I deceived myself. I allowed some things. I got outside the city of Golan. Amen. I got outside of that place. I got tired of being a prisoner behind these walls. I got tired, of not being able to go out into the big world and experience everything that the big world has to offer. When God set it up, that we could be a captive, that we could become a prisoner, that we could say, thank God for safety, thank God for protection. Thank God for a direction in life that I can go that is sure and solid. Well, praise God. Amen. I don't want to think that I'm something when I am nothing. Luke 17 and 10. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, saying, we are unprofitable servants, we have done that which is our duty to do. Amen. Thoughts of pride. Amen. Thoughts of pride are destructive and counterproductive. And so Jesus said, basically here in Luke 17, he said, when you have given it your best, amen, you've got to have the attitude, not that I am something, but I've done my best. I'm an unprofitable servant. I'm a servant, thank God, but I'm an unprofitable servant because I've simply done what I've been asked to do. Humility. Somebody said humility. Humility. Well, I've been given over there for years. I've been preaching for years. Amen. Why doesn't anybody respect me? You know what? Your mind will lie to you. Your mind will tell you, amen, that you're something. Amen. One man told me one time, and he's backslid and is not with God, left his wife and his whole life turned upside down. He's on his way in a bad way this morning. And he looked me in the eye, and this is in another state, not even anybody in this area. And he said, "You have insulted my intelligence." And the first thought that popped into my mind was, "Sir, you don't have any to be insulted." I didn't say that. I didn't say that. But he thought he was pretty smart. The Bible says, thinking themselves wise, they became fools. Well, I'm smart. You know what? Folks, I'm not here this morning as the smartest individual in this room. There are several here this morning, many here this morning, that are wiser in a lot of areas of life than I am. But it's not a measurement of the degrees. Amen. It's not a measurement of your biblical knowledge. I'll tell you, we've got a situation right now, amen, where we are getting into a Bible study. And I'll tell you, I don't know the attitude behind it, amen, but someone who has already been to Bible college and learned the Word of God and is in leadership that is saying, "I want a Bible study. You know what? I want to learn more about the Lord. I want to learn more about Him. I'm not just settling in for the ride here." Praise God. I'm not just settling in for the ride. Amen. I'm reaching to the higher heights. I'm striving for the mastery. Amen. I'm not striving to be better than you. I'm just striving to be better than me. Amen. I'm reaching higher for me. Praise God. I want to know more of Him. I want to know Him more and more and more. And so in order to do that, I've got to bring myself into subjection. 1 Peter 4 and verse 12. "Beloved, think it not strange." Everybody said, "Think it not strange." "Concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened." Amen. Don't think in these veins of thought is what Peter is saying here. There are some things that you need to bring into subjection. Don't sit down and say it's a strange thing. Amen. It's odd that this is coming against me. Amen. It's not a strange thing. Amen. He said, but it is the testing of God. It is the trying of God that we will be in the fire. Amen. That we may come out as purified, fine gold. Amen. Usable for the master. Praise God. He's not taking junk out of the junkyard and using it. He does it, but He purifies it. Amen. He takes us out of the miry clay, and then He puts us on the wheel. And when we're on that pottery wheel, He makes us into the vessel that He has in His mind. The vessel does not make itself. And so we can't say, "Well, why is He putting a handle over here? Why is He making me like this? Why am I going down this road? Why are these things happening?" So on and so forth. Amen. I'm telling you, God's hand is on the inside of the pot. It's on the hand, on the outside of the pot. Amen. And there is pressure that is applied by the hand of the master. And it is the pressure that causes the clay to conform to the mind of God. The mind of God. You're not going to find the mind of God on your television. You're not going to find the mind of God in your filthy books. You're not going to find the mind of God in your pornographic magazines. You're not going to find the mind of God, amen, at CNN or ABC or any of them other dudes. Somebody could smile just a little bit. That's not where God speaks. That's not where God speaks. God speaks out of the candlesticks. Well, praise the Lord. Got to have the mind of Christ. got to have the mind of Christ. And I'm telling you today that there is an opposing spirit. There is an opposing spirit in our world. John said, we know the world hates us. There is an opposition. The scripture says we war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what we strive against. That's what we fight against. The battle is in the mind. Amen. The battle is in the mind. And that's what's in the world. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Everything that you see in the world is sold and centered around those three things. Tell me this morning. Share with me this morning one program on television that promotes the truth of God's Word and speaks about sin and all of those things. Just one. I'm telling you, friend, it's not there. You know why? Because it's of the world. It's not of God. It's of the world. And the world passes away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Thank God for a city of refuge. Philippians 4 and verse 8. You say, oh, I hope he runs out of scriptures real quick. I don't think I'm going to run out real quick. Philippians 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure. Now think about this while I'm reading this here this morning. Think about this, about the books that you're reading and the television that you're watching and all of this. Tell me, where is it found on those things that you're feasting your eyes upon today? Whatsoever things are true. Now we're hearing about the fake news now. Whatsoever things are honest. Oh my, nobody lies on those things. Whatsoever things are just, oh God, help us. It's exactly opposite. Whatsoever things are pure, oh yes, it's there. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report. When was the last time you heard a good report? When was the last time you heard a good report? Oh, yeah, there was one 2 or 3 weeks ago they brought out there. Somebody gave somebody $50 or whatever. Restores our hope in humanity. Everybody's all depressed about the bad things going on in the world. And they find one person that does something good, and it's newsworthy. At least on the back page of the newspaper, anyway. It's in there somewhere if you look hard enough. But the rest of it is crime and violence, protests, troubles, problems, nuclear this, problems this, a world that's turned upside down here, there, and everywhere. Come on, folks. You know the pastor's preaching the truth to you today. You say, well, I can find it on the internet. Well, I'm telling you, you better not go there on the internet. On the internet, you got to click it. But I'll tell you what, it's not much better. I'm not preaching against it this morning, but I'm telling you, it's not a whole lot better. And we need to stay in the city. Whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, the virtue that we have today are those that are rising up against virtue. And everybody else is saying, isn't it wonderful that they're rising up against virtue? The things that are virtuous today is down in Oklahoma at one of the courthouses, they are putting up a statue of Satan right beside the Ten Commandments. That's virtuous. Oh, those Ten Commandments, those are outdated and obsolete. We need something new and fresh. Oh, we're past all of that other stuff. We're past all of those laws of morality and all of that. Morality is only how you feel about it. Hey, listen, you say, I can handle it. Can your babies handle it? Can your children handle it when they listen to that over and over and over again? Can your children handle that when they see it? Amen. Can your grandbabies handle it when they see all of that stuff? Amen. Can your grandsons stay holy and live with their wife? Amen. Or are they going to run around and have babies everywhere? I'm telling you, folks, oh, God, help us here. I feel something here this morning. I feel something here this morning. Amen. I'm telling you, we've got to come out of this world, come out from among them, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Amen. There is the clean and the unclean. Oh, God, I wish somebody would help me here this morning. I feel so many things on my heart. It's not the will of God to run around and fornicate with everybody that comes along. It's not the will of God. Amen. I'm telling you, Deontay Brown, I appreciate you so much. He's got two children. He goes to work every day, and he provides for his family. Amen. Doug does the same. Brother Charlie does the same. Amen. We need some. Brother Greg does the same. Terry has done the same. Amen. The Tuckers have done the same. Amen. And I'm telling you, Ronnie, he goes to work every day. I'm telling you, we've got to do something with our mind. Come out of all of that. Come out of all of that and come to the city of refuge. Well, praise God. Come out and give it up and say, you go ahead and do it. I'm going to stay over here and live for God. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Sin starts in the mind. And a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Well, I'm going to go to church and praise the Lord, and then I'm going to go home and I'm going to feast on other things. I'm telling you, you can't serve two masters. You will fall in love with one or the other. And you can tell when you're falling in love, because everybody else is unimportant. And all you think about is calling her up. All you think about is talking to her. All you think about is talking to him. And anybody else can come along. Oh, but you see so much value in all of that. Amen. My pastor used to say it this way, that if you're really in love, he said, you can drive by McDonald's, you can get the good stuff at home, but then when you drive past McDonald's and they've got the greasy hamburger for $5 and the French fries and all that, you can drive right by it and not even be tempted. Amen. When I get Sister Worst barbecued chicken and it's over with, I don't want to go to McDonald's. Not even for a coffee. And I like their coffee. You know what? It's what I love. It's what satisfies me. Amen. And I can, if I get a hold of Jesus and I fall in love with Jesus, I can go by that old world, and when it pops up, I'm like, oh, here we go. I'm just going to keep my eyes straight ahead and just keep on walking. Because it's not just on the screen. It's at Walmart. It's at Dollar General. It's on the job. It's wherever it is around. It's everywhere. And Brother Wilson talked about the darkness of this age. and it's bringing a sleepiness upon the church. It's bringing a sleepiness upon the 10 virgins. They all slumbered and slept. Folks, we can't afford to do that. God's got a work for us to do. Well, praise the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. That's in James chapter 1 and verse 8, if you want to verify that. Hebrews 11 and 15. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Hebrews 11, 15. And so what is conceived in the mind will become reality in your life. What you think in your mind will become truth in your life if they were mindful of the country that they came out of. God help us. I've thought about the country that I came out of. I thought about the ways that I used to be or the places I used to go. Amen. And if you're not careful, you can get to thinking about where you used to go and then say, oh, didn't we have a good time? We had a good time. Oh, remember when? Yeah, we used to have good times. Well, I wonder where Joe's living. Yeah, we used to have a good time. I wonder where that old girlfriend's at. And start thinking in your mind about the past, where I used to be, what I used to do, mindful of that country. The Bible says all of a sudden an opportunity will present itself for you to return. The opportunity will avail itself, and there it is right there. Folks, I'm telling you, we've got to run to the city of refuge, and we've got to stay there. The Bible says get in the city, stay there till the death of the high priest. Amen. It's going to take some time, but it's worth the time. 1 Chronicles 16 and 15, and I'm going to finish here in just a moment. Somebody smile. I'll finish in just a moment if you'll smile. Just a little smile. Praise God. And I'll finish here this morning. But I have given you the Word of God today. We have read the Word of God today. 1 Chronicles 16 and 15. Be ye mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. That's what we need to be mindful of, not the world that we came out of, not all of that that brought us down, that took us away from God, that kept us from joy and peace and happiness. Well, come on, somebody. But be mindful of his covenant. Praise God. I get to go to heaven. Some folks don't want to go to heaven because there's not a television there. There ain't going to be any TVs in heaven. There ain't going to be any internet in heaven. Not going to be any Facebook in heaven, Twitter, LinkedIn. You go down the list. It's not going to be there. Not going to be any material possessions, but we're going to walk on streets of gold. We're going to go from asphalt to gold. We're going to go from concrete to gates of pearl. And you talk about, I saw that when those towers fell, those things were 1,300 or 1,400 feet in the air. I've been at the base of those, and it almost makes you dizzy. They are so tall that in a high wind, they said they would sway 15 feet. But they are so huge and so tall that you couldn't notice it that much. But the Bible says that the city is going to be 1,200 furlongs. You look it up, that's 1,500 miles high. 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles the other way. You talk about a city, and then you talk about a foundation, and in the foundation is going to be the names. Whose names are going to be there? Some country western guy? No, I don't think so. How about a rock and roll? Michael Jackson, is he going to be in there? No, I don't think so. Scripture doesn't say that. Amen. Who else's name is going to be in there? No, you know who it's going to be? It's going to be that old fisherman, Peter. Simon Peter. Who's he? James, John, Philip, Andrew. All those names that the world, when you say it to the world, if you go to someone in the world and say, man, wasn't Peter a great guy? They're going to look at you funny and say, Peter, who's Peter? It's amazing to me. I teach Bible studies, and I ask folks that go to church that have already taught Bible studies, that have taught Bible classes, can you tell me what the gospel is? And I get the deer in the headlight look. You know, you got me on that one. I don't know what the gospel is. Who's the apostle? Oh, I know who Peter is. Amen. I know who John is. I know who James is. Would it be Bartholomew? Is he in there? Yeah, him too. No, I want you to know, you say those names to the world and the world gets a blank look. But if you give them other names of the most popular, there's some that say, oh, so-and-so. I'm like, who's that? Now, I've got to admit, there are some things I'm very ignorant of. I don't know the latest pop singers or rap singers or any of those people. I don't know them. I don't have any idea who they are, what they sing, or what it sounds like. Some of you are looking at me like you know that pretty well. I'll just ask you, praise the Lord. But those names are going to be in the foundation of that city, 1,500 miles, way above the clouds. And in that city, the redeemed are going to walk there. Isn't it worth it? Isn't it worth it? Just to say no. That's what that city of Golan is the city of subjection. It is the city of temperance, where we exercise self-restraint. Stand with me this morning. I promised I was going to finish. Isn't it worth it to say no to yourself? Isn't it worth it just to say, no, I'm not going to do that? And even if it comes down to this, and folks, you know that I'm not this way, but even if it comes down to this, the pastor says we shouldn't do it, so we're not going to do it. What's it worth when it comes to eternity? Submit yourselves to those that have the rule over you, for they watch for your soul as they that must give an account. Well, I've never read that. I don't know if that's in there. It's in there. But that's not a license for the pastor to just come up with anything and say, we've got to do this. We've got to be able to use the Word of God and find it in the Word of God. If it's not in there in specifics, it's in there in principle. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, God, help us right now. Father, we need you. We need the touch of your Spirit this morning. We need your presence this morning, Lord. Touch our children. Touch our children. Lord, we're excited that our children are learning the Word of God. We're excited this morning that they are studying the Word of God and are memorizing the Word of God. Lord, we want their minds to be full of the Word of God. We want their hearts to be connected to your heart, that when they grow older, they won't self-destruct and go in another direction. Help us today, Lord. We pray for each and every family this morning. I pray, Lord, for every one of us that are here today. Give us open hearts and open minds to receive the truth of the Word of God. For there is a city of refuge, a place that I can run and hide, a place of safety, a place where my mind can be free from some things that will destroy me. I thank you for it in Jesus' name this morning. In Jesus' name this morning. Praise God. Can we lift our voices together? Can we do that? Oh, God, help us today. Help us today. Help us. We're in desperate need of help, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Touch us. Touch us. Sing it.